Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
I should say good afternoon and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and for the next hour, we're going to inform you, inspire you, and if you like, we're going to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. This program, well, we are going to be starting off with an interview in just a moment, but I will give out a phone number later on in the hour if you should want to call in. It's a worldwide toll-free telephone number. Again, my name is Donna Sebo, and this is our first show here with BBS in the afternoon, and we're so delighted to be able to make this a part of your regular listening schedule. This afternoon, we have a wonderful guest. His name is Corky Myers. We're going to be talking about Corky Myers' flight journal. And Corky Myers is a test pilot, a man with an extraordinary background. And this book is all about a test pilot's tales of dodging disasters just in time. Corky, you're calling in from where in Florida?
I'm calling in, you're calling and talking to me from Ocala, Florida, right in the center of the state.
Now, I want to let my audience know a little bit about your background, because you have a background that would be in a history book. You have been a part of American aviation history in a very significant way. You were an experimental test pilot in 1942, and you became Grumman's first official full-time chief experimental test pilot, we'll talk about Grumman in just a moment, for carrier-based aircraft such as the Hellcat, the Tigercat, the Bearcat, the Panther, the Jaguar, and the Tiger series. And you were the first to fly the XF-9F-2 Panther in 1947, and you were the very first jet fighter for Grumman. And you were the head of Grumman's flight operations at Edwards Air Force Base from 1952 to 1956. And in 1954, you landed an F-9F-6 Cougar aboard the USS Lake Champlain, becoming the first civilian pilot to qualify aboard an aircraft carrier. Now, you eventually became president and CEO of Grumman American, which was a commercial aircraft subsidiary. And you retired in 1978 after you had tested and evaluated more than 125 different types of military and commercial jet and piston engine aircraft. You were named honorary naval aviator. You have a lot of other achievements and awards that you have received, and you are a member of the Carrier Aviation Test Pilots Hall of Honor at Patriots Point Naval and Maritime Museum in Charleston, South Carolina. You have had and continue to have a passion for flying that started when you were just a little squirt. How old were you when you first fell in love with planes?
Well, I was 7 years old, and that was the year of 1927, when that great fellow Lindbergh had just flown the ocean, and he came back and visited the capitals of every state in the nation. And when I saw his silver monoplane, I fell in love with it, and I saw him take off, land at Springfield, then take off after he'd been honored with a dinner, and I became a nut on aviation, and it was not a hobby, it was an obsession totally and completely.
Now, this obsession is something I think you came in with, because you are a man that had just, no matter what you were exposed to, planes were your absolute passion. By the age of 14, you had constructed and flown 98 scale models of real aircraft. And that was really, in the time that you were growing up, that was an expensive hobby. How did you pay for that hobby?
Well, I mowed grass for 25 cents, not an hour, for 25 cents a yard. The entire yard was 25 cents. They were fairly big ones. And I also had a mother who I could talk out of a few pennies every once in a while when I needed them. And I had a father who backed an awful lot of things that I did, including sending me to MIT in the very depths of the Depression.
Now, MIT has always had such an outstanding reputation for education and the quality of the level of learning that they offer. Innovative thinking is encouraged. MIT, for you, though, you sort of got disillusioned with it. Why?
Well, I got disillusioned, that's right. Because when I went over to visit the wind tunnel, one of the people who saw me in that building said I had to get out because I wasn't going to get to that building until the end of my third year at MIT, and I got very disillusioned. However, they changed my mind very rapidly because they were teaching flying in the Civilian Pilot Training Corps, and although I got my first rating as a private pilot back in Springfield, I got my commercial pilot, my instructor pilot, my instrument rating, and my multi-engine ratings when I was at MIT, and I got where I almost fell asleep in my school time after I came back from getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go out and fly.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of people that could relate to that that have had challenges with school. But you went on to MIT, and you finished your education there. And you then decided that with everything in you, that flying was going to definitely be a passion for you. However, you had a wee bit of a disability. What was that disability, and how did you overcome it?
Well, I'm awfully glad that I'm no longer flying, and I'm awfully glad this is about 6 months after the FAA gave me an honorary Wright Brothers Memorial Trophy, because for 31 years I did not pass the eye test legally. I found a way to bypass it illegally because it never seemed to bother my flying, what the doctor said I had. He said I was cross-eyed, but I never knew that. It just didn't work with me. And fortunately, my brother, who's a doctor and kept after me, he said that they've now allowed you to wear glasses when you're a pilot. They didn't at the beginning because pilots flew in open cockpit airplanes, and if the glasses flew off, they would be in trouble, so they did not allow pilots to use glasses. So I went for 31 years that way, and finally I became legal by getting glasses when it was allowed.
Now, your life has something of a serendipitous aspect to it, and that really was very much in place on November the 10th, 1942. And you were on a train, and a stranger on that train changed your life. How did they do that?
Well, I wanted to be a test pilot, and I called about 10 aviation companies. And they all, before I even had a chance to say anything, they said, have you had any military training? And I would say, no, but in between the no and the but, I'd get the click of the telephone hanging up. And I had just gone out to the last airplane company I could think of and find, and it was Republic out on Long Island. And when I called the chief test pilot, he said the same thing, or he hung up, rather, when I said that I did not have any military time, but. And the fellow, the stranger on the train, I started talking to him, and he said, hey, what side of the train were you sitting on coming out from New York? And I said, well, I was sitting on the left-hand side. He said, if you'd been sitting on the right-hand side, you'd have seen another company. He said, let's sit over there now, and we're going to go by it in a minute, because it was only about 5 miles from where Republic was. And he said, take a look at it. And I said, holy H. Moses, isn't that wonderful? I got out, and when I called the chief test pilot on the phone, he said, do you have military experience? I said, yes, I have government experience. I was trained by the government, and I have this and this and this and this, the ratings that I just talked to you about. And he said, fine, we'll send the car out. We're interested in you.
As I said, serendipitous. Now, we're going to be taking a break for just a moment. When we come back, we're going to learn more about Grumman, the company, and aircraft carriers. More than anything else, we're going to hear more of Corky Meyer's story. a man who is living history and is just pleased as he can be to share the story of one of the reasons why we have the successes we do today with wonderful, wonderful vehicles of transportation on so many different levels, but also those great planes that fly in the sky to protect this wonderful, wonderful country of ours. So don't go away. We're going to be right back. We will be back in just a moment with my guest, Corky Myers.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show, an hour of mind power. My guest this morning is Corky Myers. He is an experienced pilot. He has got a fascinating history. His wonderful book called Flight, Corky Myers Flight Journal, A Test Pilot's Tales of Dodging Disasters Just in Time, I might mention, is a fascinating book. And if you love planes, if you love history, this would be a must-have for your library. If you had a young person that wanted to become a test pilot or wanted to be involved in flying in today's world, my gracious, it's so sophisticated, this is a book that would really, really be of tremendous interest to them because it shows how far we have come due to men like Corky Myers who were willing to put their lives on the line to be that fabulous test pilot that so many of us would envy, not realizing what they had to go through. Corky, tell us a little bit about this company, Grumman, about Roy Grumman, and how they got involved in supplying planes for carriers.
Well, Mr. Grumman, Leroy, as his name was a Navy pilot in World War One, and he was a Navy pilot, test pilot after that for several years. And then he ran the Loening Aircraft Company, which was a Navy contractor, and when they were supposed to move to Philadelphia, about 15 of the people who lived on Long Island didn't want to go, so they decided to set up their own company, and they called it Grumman on Long Island. Now, the fact that Mr. Grumman flew airplanes meant that this company was not run by financial people, it was not run by lawyers, it was not run by people who were a little bit away from the actual flying. It was run by a fellow, and he had three other vice presidents, all who were test pilots when I got there. And it was a place that was wanted to make pilots' airplanes. Mr. Grumman said that he wanted to make an airplane that a 200-hour wartime trained pilot could take off a carrier, go out, fight, get shot up, shoot down some airplanes, come back and land on a carrier at night after dark, and the airplane could be fixed rapidly so it could go out the next day and fly. And that's exactly what he did for 10 years until World War II started. And with the Wildcat, that airplane went on carriers when no other airplane was available. That was a company that I couldn't have started better, in better communication with the top brass.
All because of a stranger on a plane, on a train, rather. Training experience that changed your life and to which you dedicated yourself this in this environment for so many years. Now, what's the difference today for a young man or woman that want to be able to become a test pilot? What's the difference between what your qualifications were or what was required of you when you started and today?
Well, I'm afraid they're a lot greater now than they used to be. But it is very easy to get the training, which I did not have, by joining the air forces of the Navy, the Army, the Marine Corps, the Coast Guard, and become a pilot under those conditions where you will then be able to be, when you retire, a test pilot or an airline pilot or something else to stay in aviation. The best training you can get are in the military services now, and their training is unbelievably good.
Now, they require about 2,000 hours of flight time, if I'm reading your information correctly here. And when you started, you only had 423 commercial hours in your logbook.
Well, I was so damned handsome besides, I guess. That's what did it. No, no. All the pilots were getting inducted into the war in World War II, and I just happened, and the words just in time were exactly right for this, as you've decided. There's no question about it. I should have had a lot more time, and only the graciousness of the Lord kept me in one piece until I did learn how to do the job.
Now, you say that when someone wants to be a pilot, they must have these qualities, an unquenchable desire to make the total career being that of a pilot. The pilot has to have a great curiosity and a desire to be part of the team to find the secrets that engineers, mechanics, and inspectors haven't been able to determine from their imagination, their calculations, wind tunnel experiments, and ground tests. And the other requirement, you say, is judgment. You talk about listening to planes. People, sometimes when they'll hear a mechanic talking to his equipment or about a pilot talking to the plane, say, you know, I think you guys have got a few screws loose up in the brain department. But those machines have a life of their own, and they do talk to you, don't they?
They absolutely do. And if you don't listen, which I didn't a couple of times, and I admit it very freely at this point, but I didn't listen to them at times, nor did I listen to a few of the people who were telling me what to do because they did not know how stupid I was. But I did have many mentors who helped me, and I did find out that the teamwork between the engineers and the test pilots was very necessary. It was not two different sections. It was one section, and you had to be part of it to get the teamwork that made it happen.
Now, for those of you listening to this broadcast, my guest, I'm Donna Sebo, and my guest is Corky Myers. This is his flight journal, Corky Myers Flight Journal. The photography in this is awesome. The stories are incredible. You feel like you're right there with Corky going through his experiences. And more than anything else, it shows what it took in the past to enable us to be where we are today. Without the men and women of courage that have been willing to put their lives on the line. And it's not just here in this country. In Corky's book, he talks about all kinds of different planes, which we'll cover in just a moment. But, Corky, go into the information about the flight suits, the positives and negatives, and what it took to finally get one that worked. You talk about the Wildcat. You talk about the Panther. Tell us about the Wildcat.
Well, the Wildcat was an airplane that was in the service before World War II started. It was one of the few airplanes that was in great mass production because when we got caught at December the 7th, 1941, we did not have anywhere near enough airplanes to go to war. And the Japanese knew that, and they knew that that's the way they ought to do it. But the Wildcat, fortunately, was one of those airplanes, and that was my test pilot school because I was going to be taking over the new Hellcat, the Grumman Hellcat, and I did not know this, but they told me I had to go out and do a whole structural demonstration in the Wildcat first, and I had some very interesting things happen to me during that made me think that being a test pilot was going to take a lot more thinking and a lot less interest in flying to really do it properly.
Now, you broke the sound barrier with the Curtis Hawk? What was the plane that you were flying, Corky?
Well, it was the Hellcat that I was flying. It did not break the sound barrier, but what had happened was when the speed of the air going over the wing of the airplane hit Mach 1, or the speed of sound, that changed the airplane's characteristics absolutely, completely, and it was totally unflyable at the time. And that happened to me in my first dive when I was demonstrating the Hellcat after my Wildcat training period. And I was very fortunate because I was pulling hard enough on the stick that I bent the rudder pedal and that took 390 pounds, but that was adrenaline pushing, not my desire to want to do that. And the airplane backed out of the wing over the speed of sound, and the airplane came back to its normal flight characteristics, and I pulled 8.5 G's, which I didn't intend to do, but I couldn't release it fast enough. And I was scared stiff from what happened on that, and nobody, when I landed, knew what had happened. They thought that maybe a wrench was stuck in my controls in the back, which did happen in airplanes where a mechanic would leave a wrench in it. And only one person, a fellow by the name of, he was just one of the nicest guys I ever met, but he was one of these research engineers. And he came up and he said, I think I know what happened, explained the whole thing, and after that I knew how to keep out of that area, and I did continue and complete the Hellcat demonstration by being very careful on how steep I made my dives in that airplane, because it could go faster than the Wildcat by a large amount.
My guest this afternoon is Corky Myers. His wonderful book, Corky Myers Flight Journal, A Test Pilot's Tales of Dodging Disasters, just in time, I might add. Corky, I know that your book is everywhere. In this book, you go into so much fascinating history about the Zeros, about the Messerschmitt. You talk about the Blue Angels and how they came about in 1945 and their history, a bit of their history. You go into so many wonderful facts and information. I know we're just about out of time. If you had to give a gift of wisdom to a young person that would say, wow, this is something I'd love to do, what would you say to that person that wanted to go out there and become a pilot?
I would say, don't do anything else, because when you are flying, you are doing something that hundreds of thousands of generations before you could not do, but about 5 or 6 generations have been able to do since. And you will be out where very few people are and enjoying yourself, because you see the Earth from 3 dimensions. You don't see it from all the troubles that happen as you walk around and try to cross streets and have to do your income tax and things like that. It's a totally different world. If you would like to fly, do it.
My guest this afternoon, Corky Myers, is Corky Myers Flight Journal, A Test Pilot's Tales of Dodging Disasters. Go to www.specialtypress.com. You can find out more about this wonderful book. Corky, thank you ever so much for being my guest this afternoon. It's always a pleasure.
Well, it was my great pleasure and honor. Thank you very much, too.
Have a fabulous, fabulous evening, Corky. Donna Sebo here. We are going to be coming back with more of the Mind Power program. Don't you go away. Good things to share. We'll be back in just a moment.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Good afternoon. This is Donna Sebo, and I'm hoping that you enjoyed Corky Myers as much as I do. A phenomenal man who is 86 years young with a history that's just absolutely phenomenal. I want you to, if you're interested in that kind of thing, would like to get a copy of his wonderful book, go to www.specialtypress.com. specialtypress.com, and you'll be able to get a copy, and he'll be happy to send an autographed copy too. Now, I wanted to take a moment and share some new information regarding nutrition that has been brought into my life and in my environment. I thought I'd like to share it with you. Are you aware that there are 8 necessary sugars that are so very, very important and necessary for our well-being? Do you know that five of these are present in human breast milk? And this is the reason, part of the reason, that babies, when they're breastfed, are less likely to have digestive problems, respiratory, ear, or other infection. Babies will have fewer allergies, eczema, and asthma, and overall are much healthier in long-term studies than those who are not. Now, from the very first moments that we are nursed in this way, the sugars that are in the breast milk form the basis of our health and our body's ability to heal. Now, science has discovered that these sugars are called glyconutrients. They're monosaccharides, and they work very hard at regulating, defending, protecting, and repairing our bodies every single day. Now, how do we get these sugars? Well, we're supposed to get them through fruits and vegetables. And I'd like to invite you to find out more about these nutrients. They are making a difference in my life, the life of my family, and the lives of my friends. And I'd like to invite you to visit my website, which is DelphiInternational.com. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen. You'll find a button that says glyconutrients. Tap on that button, and it'll lead you to a page of information. And this will give you some insights about how you can empower your understanding of you and your family, how you can be healthier through good nutrition. So again, visit my website, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the glyconutrients button on the left side of the screen, which is right there at your fingertips. Tap it, and you'll be able to get more information. Remember, when you're visiting this site, you have other references where you can research as well. Glyconutrients, they can make a difference in overall wellness in a marvelous way. You'll be very glad that you checked it out. Donna Sebo here, and I know there are many of you that are hearing me for the very first time here on BBS.com. I'm so happy to be a part of the broadcasting family here at BBS.com, and I invite you to join me 3 to 4 o'clock every afternoon, Pacific Standard Time. No matter where you might be in this wonderful country of ours or wonderful world, just put it up on your computer clock and know that you're going to be able to hear this show along with many, many guests. In fact, tomorrow we're going to have a guest, Carlana Stone Lawson, and her publication is Never Give Up. This is a woman that has gone through experiences in life you would never wish on anyone and has come out a true champion. So I encourage you to join me tomorrow afternoon right here at BBS.com, where you're going to be hearing Carlana's very, very special story. Also, for those of you tuning in for the very first time, I'm a mental practitioner, psychic, intuitive, whatever term you're comfortable with. You will have the opportunity in this part of the program to be able to call in and chat with me if you would like to have me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. We have a brand new international number. Anyone, anywhere can call in and chat with me, and all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then I want to know where you're calling from. Here's the number, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And I'll be happy to share my intuitive talents with you as an individual. You don't need to tell me anything. I don't need to know your birthday or anything else. This is a mental discipline that I've worked with for over 35 years, and it's my delight and my pleasure to be able to share it with you through this programming, because through this programming I like to demonstrate that intuitive psychic abilities are as normal as breathing. And when you can cultivate them, when you can utilize them, you're going to find that the serendipitous experiences of life seem to flow more conveniently and more easily into your own personal experience. Again, give me a call, Donna Sebo, at 877-876-5527, if you would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of insight. I came across a wonderful poem by Maxine Cates, and it's about the month of May, and this being the 1st of May, it seemed like it was very appropriate. I have a gorgeous photograph in front of me of magnificent rhododendrons and cherry blossoms just in full bloom, and of course here in the Pacific Northwest, where this program is originating from, it's exactly like that right now. We are known for our beautiful colors in spring, and boy, they are just busting their colorful buttons, one might say, right here, right now, here in the Pacific Northwest. Here's the poem. May bursts on the scene, her smile, sunshine, and color, her arms filled with flowers. She is truly Earth's mother. For each plant, tree, and creature upon which her touch rests is soon to be warmed and encouraged to bloom at its best. And that's absolutely true. Now, one of the things you're going to learn about the Donna Sebo Show is that you want to have a pad of paper and a pen handy. Yes, you will, because I like to share recipes, and I'll be sharing a recipe if time allows. That will be regarding a wonderfully, wonderfully delicious salad, easy for you to make, and just about satisfy everybody's taste buds. And also, what goes along with the salad are cheesy crisps. So we'll be sharing a little bit of that with you. Meanwhile, if you want to call in, give me a buzz, light up your life with a little bit of insight. Give me a call at 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227, a toll-free number for you. And also, I encourage people to send me stories, information that they would like for me to be aware of. And I received this cute story from Betty, and she said, Donna, this is about a box of chocolates, and I thought you would enjoy it. She said, this is for all of us who are married, were married, wish you were married, or wish you weren't married. This is something to smile about the next time you open a box of chocolates. This is about Sally, who was driving home from one of her business trips in northern Arizona when she saw an elderly Navajo woman walking on the side of the road. The trip was a long and quiet one, and she stopped the car and asked the Navajo woman if she would like a ride. With a silent nod of thanks, the woman got into the car. Resuming the journey, Sally tried in vain to make a bit of small talk with the Navajo woman. The old woman just sat silently, looking intently at everything she saw. She was studying every little detail inside the truck until she noticed a white bag on the seat that was right next to Sally's leg. The old woman looked at her and asked her a question. What in bag? Sally looked down at the white bag and said, it's about a box of chocolates. I got it for my husband. The Navajo woman was silent for another moment or two. Then, speaking with the quiet wisdom of an elder, she said, good trade. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. This is an hour of mind power that will be on the air every afternoon from 3 until 4, and you're invited to participate. I would be delighted to share my talents with you, and all I'll need from you, if you call 877-876-5227, is your first name or your initial, and then I like to know where you're calling from, and that's how simple it is. My abilities as a psychic came about not because I was looking to develop them. I didn't have a clue about them. But what happened is a very, very unique series of experience, and actually being in the pits in my own personal life in my early 20s, started creating events of experiences that I had to have some answers to. And if you, like me, when you sort of get into a bit of confusion, always want to go to a friend, and you want that friend to be able to help you, nothing else, be a good listener. Well, I've done the same thing. And that's what began my journey into the journey of mind and the discovering of intuitive talents. And I ended up, through a friend, coming in contact by a woman whose name was Gloria. And this was a professional astrologer, someone that was very, very active in the study of the psychic experience. And when we had a chance to chat, she helped me interpret some dreams that I considered nightmares. And those nightmares were, for me, so terrifying, it was prompting the search of understanding. And in becoming aware of that, what happened is she recognized my talents, interpreted dreams for me, helped me become aware of the fact that I had talents that could be used, that could make a difference in not just my life, but also in the lives of other people. She encouraged me to read. And there wasn't a whole bunch that was out. There was a few things about Edgar Cayce, and, of course, there was the Dr. Ryan, who was doing so much research, and there were other people in various areas that had started to publish about psychic experiences, information, coming from a scientific standpoint. But it wasn't really very much the topic of conversation like it often is today. And that was my beginning. And I began working with the public, beginning to test my own talents. And once I started doing that, then it made a tremendous difference in my life. And so before we go to break, I invite you, if you would like to test me, if you would like to be able to have a chance to ask a question, then give me a buzz at 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And I'll be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of insight. Donna Sebo here. We're going to be taking a break. And when we come back, you're going to have more good things to share with you, including a shrimp Caesar salad with Parmesan crisps. So don't go away. Have that pad of paper and pen handy. We're going to be back in just a moment.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hello, this is Donna Sebo. This is the first broadcast of an hour of Mind Power. And as I promised you, you are going to be able to call in to 877-876-5227 if you would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of insight. Also, what I wanted to say is if there is a problem with the 800 number, be sure and let us know. 877-876-5227. Are you ready? Got that pad of paper and pen handy? Here is a shrimp Caesar salad that is delicious. You can make it with chicken tenders if you want instead of shrimp. But it's the crispy cheese that really, these crispy cheese pieces, crisps, I guess you might want to call them, that can really make this very exceptional. People will think you had slaved for hours and you haven't done anything at all. Now, here are the ingredients. You need 3/4 cup of shredded Parmesan cheese, 3/4 cup of shredded Parmesan cheese, 2 tablespoons of lemon juice, 2 tablespoons of lemon juice, 1 tablespoon of Dijon mustard, 1 tablespoon of Dijon mustard, 1 tablespoon of Worcestershire sauce, 1 tablespoon of Worcestershire sauce, 2 cloves of garlic, and you want to mince them, 2 cloves of garlic minced, 1/4 teaspoon of cracked pepper, 1/4 teaspoon of cracked pepper, 3/4 teaspoon of anchovy paste. Now, if you don't like anchovy paste, you can leave this out, but it's something that gives a wonderful flavor, especially with the shrimp. And 1/3 cup of olive oil, 1/3 cup of olive oil, 1 tablespoon of white vinegar, 1 tablespoon of white vinegar, 1 pound of large shrimp peeled and deveined, 1 pound of large shrimp, and then 1 package of chopped romaine lettuce, about a 10-ounce bag, and that makes about 8 cups. And then you need 2 tomatoes cut into wedges. Now, what you want to do, you want to have your Parmesan crisps, and you want to make them in advance. So what you do, you preheat your oven to 400 degrees Fahrenheit, and you have a baking sheet that you coat with your cooking spray, and you take your 1/2 cup of your Parmesan and place 2 teaspoons portions of cheese in 2-inch diameter mounds on the sheet. And so you just put it together, and then you bake them in that 400-degree oven until they're crisp. They all sort of glue together when you do that. 6 to 8 minutes, let them cool a minute, and then with a spatula, transfer them to the rack as shown, and then just let them cool. And you can be making up your salad while they're cooling. Now, this is what you do. You take your juice, your lemon juice, your mustard, your Worcestershire, your garlic, your pepper, and if you desired, your anchovy paste. If you don't want the anchovy, you can leave it out. But you whisk it all together, and while you're whisking, you can also add your oil and your vinegar and 1/4 cup of the Parmesan remaining until it's well combined. And all you then do is toss your shrimp with 1/2 cup of your oil mixture to coat, and you heat a large nonstick skillet over medium-high heat. You add the shrimp, discarding the marinade. You cook, turning once until browned. It's only 2 or 3 minutes per side. Shrimp cooks so quickly. But remember, you can also use chicken tenders for this. And it might take just a tad longer, but not much. And then you remove them from the pan. You let them cool, and in the meantime, you just toss your lettuce, your tomatoes, and shrimp with your remaining oil and mixture in a large bowl. And then you've got it all put together, and you add your Parmesan crisps, and oh, what a wonderful, wonderful salad. You know, as temperatures are getting warmer, you want to have something that's really going to tickle those taste buds. So this is very, very good, and I know that you will enjoy it. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227. That's the telephone number to call if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of insight. And all it is you just call into the station, bbsradio.com, where I'm going to be with you 3 to 4 every afternoon, and you can just then give me a buzz right now, and all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and I'd like to know where you're calling from. And then I'll give you information, and after that, you're welcome to ask any questions that you like. Have you wondered what has ever happened with communicating with dolphins? In the 1960s, there was a very special man, John Lilly. He was called a consciousness researcher, and it was really headline news because he claimed he had trained dolphins to say their ABCs. Now, this research emerged from a dream that he had had for a long time, that humans and dolphins would someday be able to communicate. Now, in the 1950s, he had set up a research center in the Virgin Islands and tried to coach the animals to speak in a human-like way. Now, he passed away in 2001. He left behind recordings that contain a few eerie instances of dolphins echoing human elocution. But nobody had been able to replicate his claims that the animals knowingly uttered human words. Well, in the 1980s, Lewis Herman of the University of Hawaii created particular languages to train dolphins in tasks. The dolphins responded in ways it showed the researchers that they could understand single sentences. And the dolphins were able to account for both the meaning of words and how word order affects the meaning. So quite a bit of fast thinking, far-reaching thinking in the 1980s was in place. Now, this dream of John Lilly, it's still going on. The dream of interspecies dialogue is very much active and alive at the Wild Dolphin Project in Florida. And recordings that they make there are sent to language experts at Carnegie Mellon University. Now, what they do, they use computer programs to synthesize dolphin sounds and also to try to interpret the meaning of the whistles and the clicks. The researchers find tremendous complexity in the sounds that dolphins made. And they say the capacity for communication among these very, very talented animals could range from the level of a dog barking all the way to possibly talking. And that comes from Robert Frederking of Carnegie Mellon. Isn't it amazing what computers have enabled us to do? It's enabling us to broadcast this program. It's enabling us to reach around the world with information, insight, all kinds of wonderful, wonderful things that we wouldn't have even imagined possible. And it's advancing even more rapidly. So as you go about your day, remember that there are so many people that have excellent minds that are out there wanting to empower your life, wanting to make our world better. And I know we're bombarded every single day with so much information that makes us think that our world is becoming very, very dark and very, very unpleasant. But you need to keep in mind, it's not that way. Let's take nutrition, for example. Just recently, it was brought to my attention where there is so much that's being discovered. We are eventually going to find that the people in the medical arena, instead of just working with symptoms, are going to be going to the cause, the real cause of many issues behind diseases and various conditions that evolve. And one of the things that's just been recently discovered has been glyconutrients. And we all are trying to eat right, and we're all trying to do so many things for ourselves, and we just sometimes shake our heads. We go, what else can we do? Well, when we have the opportunity to become aware about glyconutrients, we learn that there's sugars that are present in nature, and we're not getting them in our food. And these sugars, and this is being proven by scientific study, these sugars are necessary for all of our cellular and immune system functions. You know, there's been over 20,000 studies conducted each year on glycoforms alone, and these are the sugar protein structures that line each and every cell of our body. Now, four out of the last eight Nobel Prizes in Physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication, and tell us how these sugars work in the body. You know, as a broadcaster, I bring forward in every program that I have information about nutrition and so many other things. I like to give you information that I feel can possibly empower and light up your life, not just intuitive insight, but so many other things. And I'd like to invite you to go to my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. It's important to become educated. MIT's Technology Review in February 2003 stated that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. And we need to become educated, because education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. So visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left of the screen, tap the glyconutrient button, and it will take you to a page of information, and you can explore as much as you would like. Donna Sebo here, and we are running out of time. Keep in mind, same time, same place tomorrow. We're going to be right here, available to chat with you, and if you would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of insight, we'll be able to do exactly that. We have a new international number of 877-876-5227 that you are more than welcome to call in to. And tell your friends about the show. And don't forget, tomorrow we have a fabulous guest, Carlana Stone Lawson. Never Give Up is her story, and she's a woman that not just, well, she lives what she speaks about. She's a woman that's got a powerful story to tell, and I do hope that you will join me tomorrow afternoon from 3 to 4 to hear Carlana Stone Lawson, and also to let me light up your life with a little bit of insight. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. You have a fabulous, fabulous day wherever you are in this wonderful country of ours or in the world. I'm so delighted we've been able to share this hour together. Have a great day. Remember, this is the best. Your best. Reach for it. Donna Sebo, talk with you tomorrow.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.